God morning to you. You know, that's where we get the expression, good morning. We have reduced it to an expression without the substantial understanding of good, which is God. When that rich young ruler said to Jesus, good master, Jesus' response was, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. He was saying, don't just recognize the goodness of the words, but the substance, which is God. That's why I say a God morning to you. Now, we're teaching through the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Hebrews. And we are in the 11th chapter. It says, now faith is the substance, hypostasis, title deed of things hoped for, things that are seen are not hoped for any longer. They are the evidence of things not seen. Faith substantiates things hoped for. Faith evidences things not seen. The word translated evidences in the Greek is the same word from which we get pragmatizes, that is, brings into being and as Christians, our hope is in the Word of God and the promises of God, and through His loving kindness, through His grace, I have no doubt every child of God has, in some form, received the substance of the promise, of a promise of God. We've experienced His healing, or His provision, or His peace, that is, come to that understanding of God is not against us anymore, have come to the experience of His grace, of His unmerited favor. But as we walk in this earth, in this world, certainly not all that God has promised has been substantiated. Therefore, we walk by faith and going to the third verse, I'll give you this translation. By the means of faith, we understand that God formed these worlds not from things that exist, but from not a thing. He spoke his word and everything was. King James says that the worlds were framed by the word. In this relationship that God has called his chosen to, this relationship by faith, there is speaking involved. There was one theologian who put it in this kind of way, that God is the great other, and the relationship that we are having with him is through dialogue. He speaks to us through his written word. We speak that word by faith, that is, with the mouth. We speak those things that the heart and mind have agreed to, that is, his promises with the heart man faiths, with the mouth he speaks unto salvation. We're in a chapter which is the only chapter in the whole book where God eulogizes, that is, has something good to say about men. And that which is being spoken of in each and every case is their faith. And as the Ephesians letter says, even that is a gift of God. seventh verse of this chapter says, by faith Noah, and we've taught on this, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, we've taught on this verse before. I just want to go back and reiterate the last words of this verse. Say, and became heir. That is, recipient. Heir is something that you don't own, that you don't possess. It is a possession of something being given to you. And here it says, heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. I have a note in the margin of my King James Bible, which says, go to Romans 3:22. I would start in Romans 3:21, but now a righteousness of God without the law. And remember earlier in the teaching, what Paul had to say about the law in his Hebrews letter was that the law made nothing perfect. But now a righteousness of God without the law, which made nothing perfect, is manifested. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets, even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the faithing ones, for there is no difference. The account of each and every one of these who are termed the heroes of faith, there's no difference. It is by faith. Which, it says in the second verse, the elders obtained a good report. Let's go on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. The word is hupakoison. He ran to the voice of the sayer. He listened diligently. He attentively hearkened. It talks of a relationship of one listening to the word of another, and the other, in this case, is God, He hearkened diligently. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, receivers, with him of the same promise. I'd like to point out this word being translated tabernacles means tents, T-E-N-T-S, tents. Tents are temporary dwelling places. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose, King James says, whose builder and maker is God. The Greek word being translated builder is the word from which we get architect. And the architect is the one who laid the plans, and a good architect watches over his plans as those plans become substantiated. God not only built a city, maker, but he planned it. He's the architect. By faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, she wasn't God's judge. She reasoned in her mind, God said this, he promised it, he's faithful. I love the story in Genesis wherein, when she got this promise, she said within herself, shall I in my old age feel pleasure again? We need to put flesh and blood on these who have preceded us, because we also are flesh and blood. Man, she's 90 years old. She was past age. Her time had gone by. But God said, through Sarah, to Abraham, because of faith, it says, therefore, sprang there, even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and of the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and you know, we just run through English and use that, and so often, so many times, we never consider their source. I found it interesting, this last word of the 12th verse, translated innumerable, is, the Greek word is anarithmero. It's a word we get our arithmetic. And when you put the A in front of it, it means not numbered. Not numbered. I'm going to come back to this verse, hopefully before we're done. Because there's more to be said about it. But let's go on. And it says of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob so far, it says, these all died katapiston, the word is in the accusative. It is understood, or should be understood, that this faith is that which is being done on them. Romans 1:17. In it, that is the gospel, is a righteousness of God revealed from ek pistios eis piston. God adds faith to our faith. God adds his faith to our faith. God adds the faith of Jesus Christ to our faith. God is doing this in his eternal plans, which he planned before the worlds were formed. And in that plan, he chose out from among those he did not choose for himself in Christ Jesus. And he is the source of that faith that you and I find ourselves moving in. These all died according to faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, And we're persuaded. And we're persuaded of and embraced and confessed. That is, the root of this word being translated confessed is logo. That is with the mouth. That they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. The word being translated strangers is xenos. We have our word in English, xenophobia. We're afraid of strangers. And pilgrims on earth. Parapedimos is the word being translated. It would suggest a sojourner, parenthetically a foreigner, literally someone passing through, but still with a relationship with the people in this locale. We're passing through this earth. That song last week, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Further exegete on this word says in the New Testament it is used metaphorically in reference to heaven as the native country of one who sojourns on earth. For they that say such things declare, again, a word speaking plainly, that they seek a country. Now the word being translated here, country, is patrida. And more literally, it is a fatherland. And we as children of God are seeking out and declaring there is a fatherland to which we have been called. We're not talking about, you know, being born in this country or that country or the other or another country as being our fatherland. As Christians, we declare plainly that we seek a fatherland. And truly, it says, if they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, the world, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better. And the word country in the King James now is in italics. It's not there. They desire a better, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepare for them a city. as I was, you know, attempting to make myself available to this message this morning, I was reminded of these, of the words of Jesus, found in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, the 19th verse. That these words might bring encouragement to you. Let's look at the 18th verse. If the world hate you, you know that it hated, Jesus speaking, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There is comfort in this life, in this relationship that we are having with God, that comfort especially by faith, not in the things of this world, but in the Word of God. Because Jesus chose us out of the world. And we are not of this world. But we desire a better, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, logistomai. Again, it has to do with speaking, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The word being translated figure is the word from which we get our word parable. I'm hesitating here because there's a lot to say here. A parable, that is, laying one thing down alongside another in order that we might see. God wishing to convey to us through Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, the type of the Father. Isaac, the type of Jesus, God's only begotten Son. Abraham willingly offered Isaac. Isaac willingly became the sacrifice. Abraham reasoning that God, Jehovah Pele, the God of impossibilities, who had performed the impossibility of Sarah through Abraham, Abraham through Sarah could conceive seed. That even if Isaac died, God could raise him up, because God said of this Isaac, shall thy seed be called. And it is a type. Of the sacrifice, God giving his only son. His only son giving his life. And the resurrection, because God has the power to call that which is not as though it is. Now, I said earlier I had more to say, now we're talking about really spiritual things here, we're talking about that new creation that we have become in Christ Jesus, and that by faith. But God made some of these promises that are in this 11th chapter. Not only spiritual, but natural as well. And, you know, so often we just get so caught up in the spiritual that we stop giving attention to that which God said, and he said it and did it, and revealed what he said, and history manifests his doing of it to show that God is faithful. Paul quotes in this 12th verse, it says, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, and a woman who was past age, as so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore without number. Genesis 22:17 says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore. I want to ask you something. In the traditional teaching of the church, the understanding is conveyed that the descendants of Abraham and Sarah were Jews. And I want to tell you something. The number of Jews in this world are not without number. They can be numbered. But God said of the descendants of Sarah, who was past age, and Abraham, who was as good as dead, that is, he didn't have the power to procreate anymore, that their descendants would be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. I want you to think about this. I want you to have an understanding that traditions make void the Word of God, and God was talking about a population group much greater than the Jews. I'm not eliminating the Jews. They are included in that innumerable, but they are not the only. It says in the eighteenth verse, of whom it was said that in Isaac, thy seed, that is Abraham, your seed, shall be called in Isaac. To my limited thinking, traditional friends in the church, who have not looked beyond tradition and not diligently searched out God through His Word, it says that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Now, we get the word Jew from the name of one of Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel, we get the name Jew from one of his sons named Judah. We don't get it from Isaac. What name do we get? What word do we get from Isaac regarding the seed of Abraham? The word, as transliterated from language to language to language, which literally means sons of Isaac, in the English language is the word Saxon. It means sons of Isaac. Now, stick that in your traditional pipe and puff on it for a while, and it is going to expand your mind and your spirit, wherein faith, when God demonstrates his faithfulness to his word that he spoke 2,000 years ago to Abraham and Sarah, in that he said, "In Isaac thy seed shall be called." And we have an understanding of who the Anglo-Saxon nations are and who they have influenced throughout the world and who their enemies are gain even more confidence not only in the chaos of this world but in the battle between the Spirit of God that he has placed in us by the gift of faith, that is, by our acting based upon belief, sustained by confidence that God will do what he says. The battle between that spirit and our flesh. And that we might seek not our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God, which is by faith. And even that of Jesus Christ. not speaking my words. I'm speaking the word of God. That you are. That I myself might be encouraged through God's word as to his faithfulness, and that we might, as we ended last week, stay. Upon our God, that we might trust in the name of the Lord. Wherein, I'm gonna I leave you with this. It says, "For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose architect and maker is God of that city." John in the book of Revelation says, "And I saw," 21st chapter, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride is adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, that is God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. Write this down. For these words are true and faithful. God has a better and we desire a better. God's talking about a place where there's no more pain. That's certainly not this world. He's talking about a place where there'll be no more death. That's certainly not this place. Neither sorrow, that's certainly not this place. Nor crying, that's certainly not this place. As we have laid up our treasures in heaven, and we boldly speak of that which God has promised, we have this confidence in God, not in our flesh, but by faith, wherein God is not ashamed to be called our God, because He has prepared for us a city. The 16th verse says, but now they desire a better. The word being translated desired is oragonte. And it means to stretch forth, to long for. To hanker after, to long for, am eager for, to aspire to. The word in the Greek is in the middle voice, and it means that this stretching one's self out. Let me just say this. The root of the word or another variation of the word is oragomai, and I'm just going to read aspire, stretch towards, is always in the Greek middle voice, meaning stretching out, stretching oneself out. It emphasizes the personal desire of the subject, focusing on what the object personally means to the subject. A better country. The middle voice literally means to stretch oneself out in order to touch or grasp something. Going back to the third chapter of Hebrews, the sixth verse. But as Christ is Son over His own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence, if we speak boldly, if we boldly talk about it, whose house we are, if we boldly talk about the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. What is the hope? The promise of God, a city who's architect and maker is God. Now, faith substantiates things hoped for. And that's the God School for today.